Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
We've been loyal way back from the beginning. The trusted source for the news. 7 Knife and Hollis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 Knife and Hollis in your ears, you. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another edition of 79th and Hollis. This is episode 259, man. It is your guys, Scott and Flows. Of course, you can follow us on all social media platforms, including Blue Sky at F Barber Chair Scott, F Flows Andolini, and at 79th and Hollis. Of course, follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on all social media platforms, and subscribe to us on Patreon, man. That is patreon.com/barbershop network. If you see right here on the screen, click on the QR code. It'll take you right there. And, you know, if you subscribe to the $10 tier, if you're a first-time subscriber, you will get 25% off your first Barbershop Network order at the bcnetshop.com, man. Yeah, man. This is Flo. It's your first time on the show in a couple weeks. You've been under the weather. You're still a little under the weather voice wise, but you're here. You're muted. Can't hear a word that you're saying.
I'm not under the weather, but my voice, I feel like once a year since I started teaching, my voice leaves. It's kind of the game.
So it's just right on schedule. But this is episode 259. We just got back from Soldier Field. Oh, Bears lose another one. 20-19. To the hated Green Bay Packers. This is now the 11th loss to the Green Bay Packers in a row. This is the longest losing streak in NFL history against one particular team. The Bears have also lost 29 of their last 31 against this team, which is ridiculous, and even more ridiculous stat. Since 1992, let's take you back to 1992, the Chicago Bulls had two championship rings. Flo's was 3 years old, two going on 3 years old. Joe was turning two. Two. I was 4 years old in 1992. Since then, the Green Bay Packers have a 52-15 record over the Chicago Bears. That is ridiculous. This is not a rivalry. I'm going to rant on that tomorrow, and I'm not going to hold you in more detail about not being robbery. But and I think the frustrating thing about this one is they had them. They had them. Me and my brother, we said all game today, like, you know, they're not going to beat them. They're not going to beat them. Joe didn't think it was going to be a close game. I just felt it was going to be a close game because, you know, in the Jordan Love era, you know, I think these would be closer games than they were during the Aaron Rodgers era, and also because I just felt like the offense would come out a little more motivated. The team in general would come out motivated after getting rid of Shane Waldron, and they did. But the problem is the defense forgot to show up. And then on that field goal, I was like, after those three great passes by Caleb. I mean, Caleb was great all day, but three passes after this offensive line failed him on that drive and got him sacked twice in a row, 3rd and 19, what does he do? Big boy throw to Roma Dunze for a gain of 16. Then what he does after that, 4th and 3. A big boy throw after that, gain of 21 to Roma Dunze after that. Then what does he do after that? Gain of 12 to Keenan Allen. He had the game won. It was 36 seconds left after that Keenan Allen catch. That's because they allowed the clock to go down that way. They let it go down to the final 3 seconds instead of going for another play. Which Packers players who were on the field goal team said they expected them to go another play and would have made it very difficult for them to block the field goal. I actually sat there in the booth and I told y'all, I was like, they're actually going to do it. They're actually going to beat them. And I was just like, there's no way the football gods are going to allow us to lose again in painful fashion after what happened in Washington 3 weeks ago. But I was wrong, and the Bears lost yet again, man. Crushing blow.
I'm sorry. I just watched Geno Smith walk down the Niners, so that was a lot. Sorry.
Well, they won, or?
They just scored. It's 19-17 now. 12 seconds left. Geno Smith.
Well, I'm watching the end of Buffalo, Kansas City over here. But, yeah, man, where do we start? Where do you want to start? You want to start with the good or you want to start with the bad?
I mean, let's just get the bad out the way.
All right, let's start with the bad. Matt Eberflus. Matt Eberflus has found ways to lose over these last two seasons, like historic ways. I don't know what the actual stat was and what the percentage the Bears had to win this game, but if I had to bet, I'm pretty sure it was in the 90s, just like the other four games he lost last season, which they became the first team to lose four games where they had an over 90% chance of winning. This dude should not have a job. And I feel like we're beating a dead horse at this point. We've all been saying this for at least a calendar year. And he is two last-minute plays from this being a 6-14.
All right.
They hold on against Washington. They hold on against the Packers. They are 6-14. We up here talking about playoffs. That's what we're up here doing. And what makes it even more infuriating, now, correct me if I was wrong, I was half paying attention when he was talking today. Did he say that the extra yardage didn't mean anything?
Well, he said they felt comfortable at that yardage position. They felt it was a good yardage. He made a bunch of kicks from there. That's not really what you want to hear from your coach. You want to hear from your coach that, again, I don't think you should ever play for a field goal under any circumstance. The field goal should be, we had to take a field goal simply because we didn't have enough time, and this is the situation we find ourselves in. You should always play for a touchdown. For instance, after that wrong catch on fourth down, they're at what, the Packer 40. There's a minute and like 15 seconds left.
Yeah,
that's plenty of time to go ahead and get yourself a touchdown. That's the issue here, is that why did it take that much time off the clock to get yourself to the 30? Basically, you got 10 extra yards in that minute and 15. That should never happen. It should be that you're making sure you're getting yourself closer and closer and closer and closer, playing with urgency. They had no more timeouts left. They took their timeouts. Now it's time for you to creep closer and closer to that goal line. Because, again, I said it on Twitter, said it on Blue Sky, when you're kicking a 45-plus yarder, it just gets harder and harder because the angle of the football is going to go from higher to lower. It's literally going to go from here to here. And when you're kicking at that angle, what happens? A hand raises up, makes it easier to block it. And so the hope is you put yourself in the 35-something yarder, a lot easier. You can arc the ball a bit more, get some height on it, make it harder for them to hit it. And then on top of that, Cairo Santos already kicks at a sharper angle. And the Packers knew that. And I forgot which ESPN writer spoke to them, but they said, we know he kicks at a sharp angle. We're actually shocked they didn't get closer. We're just as shocked as you. But again, this is what bad teams do. Bad teams will consistently find ways to lose. And I shouldn't be shocked, but part of me is.
I'm not shocked. I don't want to say devastated. I'm just annoyed, man, because I'm annoyed because this should have been a good season. And right. It has not been a good season for the reason that everybody saw. Like I said, Bears fans don't agree on nothing. But one thing we all agree on, at this time last year, that Matt Eberflus should not be the coach of this team. We said that he should have been fired midseason last year. That he shouldn't have finished with Justin. It was malpractice to give Justin Matt Eberflus those 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, we sit up here and say that we won about Justin. I'm on the team that, you know, I think that Justin is what he is, but his progress was definitely slowed down playing with having this idiot the last 2 years. Like, it just was. And then you're going to take your prized possession that, you know, and Caleb Williams and pair him up with Eberflus. We all said it was stupid. I've never, ever seen in the history of sports in any league in any league. You can go NHL, you can go NBA, you can go Major League Baseball, NFL. When you start a rebuild and you get a new quarterback or a new franchise star and you pair him with the same coach, that never happens. That literally never happens. When, you know, even it might be bad pairing, but there's been always new coaches. Right. And it was just dumb. And now you got this season, which everybody hyped up, rightfully so. You know what I'm saying? Bears fans, it's okay to admit you had expectations and this season didn't go to where we wanted to go. It's fine to admit that. It's better than y'all who said, I saw this coming. No, you didn't. You know, and we all thought we took those last couple games last year where the defense played better. And what did I say, Joe? I had said since offseason, I want to see more from this defense because I feel that they stat padded on those last couple games. I said that at the end of last year. That I want to see more from the defense. So if you got the defense, and let's be 100% real. Yeah, they stopped them from scoring on that one drive, but let's be real. They were terrible today. The defense was terrible today. It was terrible. They didn't even pinch them. Like, they let them run all up and down the field consistently. It was not good. I know you can look at it and say, well, they only gave up 20 points. It was not good. It wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough.
I would say it's not good enough, but it's not bad. I don't think you can look at that game and say it's bad. I mean, run-wise, there was never really a time where their run game was just abusive or just got anything that they wanted. The issue that I have with them is the issue that I had since the start of the season last year. I mean, the offseason this past year, is that there's no pressure. There's no pressure coming from that defensive line. And since there's no pressure, it puts a lot more pressure on your defensive backs, on your linebackers. And that's the biggest issue. But again, I don't think it was a bad job today. It was okay. Not bad. I don't think you can look at the score, the yardage, to say it's bad. It was okay. But unfortunately, they put the Bears in a position where they had to play almost near flawless to get a really convincing win. And you want your defense to do better than that. But this defense is missing some key components. You're missing your Andrew Billings coming out of that three technique, and you're missing Jaquan Brisker. And it was obvious because Javon Dester did not look good from his position, standing up straight, not getting any pressure. They didn't get a single sack on Jordan Love, and that cost him. And so, unfortunately, the Bears are in a position where they waste another year of defense because they don't have the skill, the positions on the defensive line, and they don't have a competent offense to really put it all together. But I can't say it's bad. It's okay.
I thought it was bad. I just felt that, like you said, no pressure. It didn't look like Green Bay sweated on any of the drives they had. And so that's just what I'm saying from at least it didn't look like they made them work for it. Really felt like Green Bay is playing on rookie. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I looked at it. And it's just not enough. It's just not enough to me. And if the defense isn't playing well, then there literally is zero reason for Flus to be there. If the defense ain't even playing well. And so, I mean, look, I'm tired of talking about this every week, and I wish he would get fired tonight. We just got the email about, you know, media availability this week, so he's not fired. His name is still in the email. But I'm just tired of it. Like, I feel like, you know, names, I mean, I know that probably thrown a lot on him. You just got named offensive coordinator already, then named interim head coach after that. But something, man, like, He doesn't know what he's doing. He is a junior varsity coach. You know what I'm saying? He goes up. I can't believe he looked in the media there and said, you know, tough times don't last, tough people do. Like, who are you? Right. Like, what are we doing here? And it's too much talent on this team. It's just way too much talent on this team. We can sit up here and Bo Nix has 19 touchdowns now. He just threw four touchdowns against the 14. He has 19 right now. Yes, total. 15. I thought he had 15 coming into this game.
He had 10 coming to this game.
I'm finna double check right now.
Maybe Bo Nix has 15 total, but he had 10 coming into this game. He just got four. He has 14 passing touchdowns.
Okay, I thought he had 15 coming to this game. Well, somebody lied. Well, 14. Either way, that's still good for a rookie. You know, who's he throwing to outside of Cortland Sutton? You know what I'm saying? Like, look at all the rookie quarterbacks. Caleb 100% has the best weapons. Like, 100%. So, the amount of talent on both sides of the ball, then you're finding ways to lose games. Why is he here? And so, And for people out there who said the Bears are not a, and there was a lot of hyperbole this week. We'll get into that in a minute. Which goes what'd on you to say? Hyperbole.
Hyperbole?
Yeah, whatever, nigga. Hyperbole. That's what I mean. Hyperbole. I'm Scott Pope School. Whatever. Hyperbole.
We went to the same schools.
Nigga, it was 20 years ago. I don't care. I graduated almost 20 years ago. Fuck you. Hyperbole. There was a lot of hyperbole this week. About I messed that word up completely. I'm gonna get a lot of jokes on Twitter, but whatever. Hyperbole this week. When it comes to the media and what they're talking about, when it comes to this franchise, but there's too much talent for you to just be giving up seasons like this. So if people say it's not a good job, you're an idiot. It's a good job. It's just who are going to be the, like, are you going to actually go out there and spend money to get coaching, to get the right coach? Like, we hear today, I forgot what article said in ESPN, where it said that, you know, Ben Johnson is looking for a strong quarterback, a strong owner. Well, we got half of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so Eberflus getting fired is not a question anymore.
Right.
It's who are you going to replace him with? And Ryan Poles, you can't mess this up. You know what I'm saying? And that's just where I'm at it with it.
Again, I'm not going to say Matt Eberflus is fired until he's fired. Yes, it seems like the obvious thing is that he's going to get fired because he's having such a bad year. But again, bad teams figure out a way to do stupid things. And so I'm not going to assume Flus is fired until I get an email that says, oh, he's been relieved of his coaching duties. Eric Washington or Thomas Brown or whoever is now the interim head coach. I'm not going to believe that until I see it.
Or no, I'm not talking about mid-season. I'm talking about at the end of the year.
Even at the end of the season, I don't believe it until I see it. I just don't. Why give the Bears credit when they've proven time and time again?
I get that, but they're not bringing this dude back after this.
Again, why give the Bears credit when they've proven time and time again they do not deserve that credit? So until Matt Eberflus is fired, he's going to be here. And with that being said, when you look at the Bears' job, you look at everything that they have, they're not a mess. They're a fixable team. They can be fixed into a contender. It just takes a considerable effort at the coaching position to make sure that you're drafting better people, and Josh Allen is about to walk down the Chiefs for a touchdown. This incredible thing's happening. But if you're a coach coming in this position, or you're a prospective coach, you're going to say, what do they have that makes this job worth it? They have a young, talented quarterback in Caleb Williams. They have three very good wide receivers, though I'm assuming Keenan Allen doesn't come back. So you got two, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze. You got a good running game in DeAndre Swift. You got a good backup in Roschon Johnson. You got a good tight end in Cole Kmet. You got a good backup in Gerald Everett. When you look at the defensive side of the ball, you got good linebacking core. You got TJ Edwards. You got Jermaine Evans. You got Jack Sanborn. That's if you're going out of the base 4-3. When you look at, the defensive backfield, you've got Jalen Johnson amongst the best cornerbacks in the league. Followed by him, you got Kevin Byard, is a great safety. Jaquan Brisker, when healthy, is a good safety. Kyler Gordon, Tariq Stevenson. You have the makings of a very good team. The issue then becomes, how do you form that into better than what you have now? And the best thing you can do is get a defensive line, get an offensive line. Those are a lot of positions. It's five on the offensive side, four, really three, actually really two. You really need two pieces for the defensive line. You need somebody next to Andrew Billings, because I don't think Javon Dexter is the future. You need a rusher next to Montez Sweat, opposite of Montez Sweat, because obviously it's not enough that what you have right now. So you need really probably five players right now. If you take away, I'm looking at the offensive side of the ball. Darnell Wright's going nowhere. He's fine. And probably Braxton Jones stays. So you need three linemen interior-wise. You need both guards and center, and you need an interior, and you need someone on the defensive side. You need someone next to Billings, and then a rusher opposite of Montez Sweat. So you need five players coming in. I don't see how that wouldn't be attractive to a coach, because coaches have gone to worse messes before, really high-profile coaches. So I don't get the whole, this is not an attractive job. It's a very attractive job, especially knowing who you have skill position and quarterback-wise. So I think right now the Bears are, I hate to say even fixable, because it's not like it was great and then just got worse. They are in a position to be a lot better, and that should be appetizing or attractive to any coach that's coming in.
So as a Ravens fan, I'll give y'all John Harbaugh. I think not.
No.
John Harbaugh should have been fired 5 years ago. Caleb Middleton is so underrated for our
country. Whoa. Why should he have been fired?
Because he's lost it. He got saved by Lamar. Lamar saved his job. You can ask any Ravens fan this. Lamar,
I don't care about what fans say about teams. I see what the media says about them. He's put up some very good years.
He should have been fired a minute ago. I'm cool on John Harbaugh.
My thought is what too often in sports, if we're not at the promised land, we say they deserve.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Firing, but why is that? Why is that he deserving a firing? Because in the end, it's not like the Ravens have put together great skill players. Pretty much every year has been mid to terrible skill players, and they're asking Lamar Jackson to make a miracle. Defensively, obviously, they put the great defensives, but
this is what I've heard from Ravens fans too. Our Harbaugh gets out coach in high pressure games. Even last year, decide, you know what? We're not going to do what we're good at, run the ball. We're going to throw it. Improved the Lamar can throw. It's just stupid.
Okay,
stuff.
Those are legitimate reasons. I just wanted to know beyond what you were saying.
But you said Harbaugh versus Tomlin, clear coach. Yeah, yes. I would give up my future children to have Mike Tomlin be head coach of the Bears. What do you think the Bears record be right now if Mike Tomlin was head coach?
The same. Maybe a game or more.
They'd be six.
Obviously, they'd be six and four.
They'd be 6-4. They'd be 6-4 and in the playoff race. Let's talk about Caleb. You want to talk about Caleb or you want to talk about Thomas Brown first? Which one?
I think it's talk about Thomas Brown just because he's the one calling the plays.
Let's talk about Thomas Brown. Thomas Brown, granted, it might not look too pretty. Like, oh, they only scored 19 points. But considering they went 26 drives without scoring any points, scoring a touchdown.
Right.
And look, you know, you had that two touchdowns today, both by the running backs. One was not Khalil Herbert. He's in fucking Cincinnati. Roshan Johnson. The other one was by DeAndre Swift, who juked Xavier McKinney. And then Braxton Jones made a big boy tackle, which it'd be nice if he could do that all the time. And then you also had they scored points on their first drive for only the second time this season, man. I thought Thomas Brown did pretty good. I think he did pretty good considering the situation. He only had 4 days of prep. It was only two practices. And it just looked like the offense had way more confidence than it did before. Right. A lot more movement. A lot more plays that made sense. A lot more spreading the ball around. I still want them to get Cole Kmet more involved than they usually do. I mean, than they have been. Use him more. Even use Gerald Everett. He's a faster tight end. Like, you got to be able to have some balance there a little bit. DJ Moore had a good game. You know, DJ Moore used DJ in so many different ways. Roma Dunze was good. This is the first time I've seen a game this season where DJ, Rome, and Keenan all had good plays. Like, what it's been. It's like Shane Waldron's like, only one of these niggas I can use at a time.
Right.
Which is, like, beyond stupid. But I thought he did pretty good. He made things simple for Caleb, which is another thing that pisses me off about how this season has gone. I told you this at the game. I feel like Ryan Poles them evaluated Caleb with a fan eye. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay for fans to expect a rookie quarterback to come out here and kill, because that's what fans do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you're a coach or a scout or a GM, you should expect for rookie mistakes. And it's like they're like, oh, well, he's going to come out and just be Mahomes in year one. That's why we're going to talk all crazy and go, oh, it's time to win now. Like, it just pisses me off. And so now what game was this? The 10th game of the season. You decide, let's make things easy for our rookie quarterback. That's right. Real complimentary football we've seen. We kept hearing complimentary football all year. No, that was complimentary football. dedicating to the run, doing the small passes, getting the layups that open up the big passes. That's what you saw. So I feel like if anything today, we got the game plan for how to use Caleb for the rest of the season. And I do believe on that final drive, I believe that he proved to Thomas Brown that I can make bigger passes, which means he's going to give him bigger passes. And the offensive line, I thought for the most, it was okay. I thought the offensive line was okay. How many times Caleb gets that day? Three times, something like that?
Three times.
So it's six less than last week. But also, you had two starters were back this week. Now Ryan Bates is hurt again. As Bang says, they got him off 79th to Western. But I thought I would give Thomas Brown about an A-minus today. I really liked what I saw. I'm excited to see him with full, preparation now. He doesn't have to answer to anybody. And I do believe him calling plays from the booth helped a lot. So I'm interested to see how the offense looks for the rest of the season. But I like what I saw from Thomas Brown.
I'd probably give him an A. I don't see a reason to give him an A-minus. I can't honestly think of one play where I said this was just stupid. You know, like it shouldn't have worked. It shouldn't have been done. Even when Caleb threw a pass to Keenan Allen, that from the onset, it's like, oh, that could have been picked. And you look closer and you say, wow, this is a great pass. Keenan had a real good chance to catch it. Probably should have caught it. I don't see a reason. So when I think about it, and I was the shot, I told Scott, they need a shot here. They took the shot. So when I think of it, I think of his game, I think it's an A. I can't really think of anything that was just bad. They use motion to
only the reason I gave him an A minus is I wanted to see at least 21 points. It's a petty reason, but
okay, fair. I can't think of one reason outside of that, you know, wanted to get, I guess, the 21 point mark to think that it should be less than an A. But when I think of it, they ran 34 times, passed 31 times. You're talking about that's true complementary football. Mm-hmm. That's literally pure
nice balance. Football.
An even better balance than the Packers had. Packers ran 25 times, passed 17 times. And with that, they got 5 point yards average on the ground every run, and they got 7 yards per pass. For the first time when Eberflus said we play complementary football, they legitimately play complementary football. And so when I take that in totality, using motion to not only confuse the defense, scheme a player open, make easy passes for Caleb. A lot of passes were just, boom, three-step drop, throw. Don't have to think he's going to be open. Like the Packers. The Packers use motion a lot. One of the biggest things they use was the wheel route. They use the wheel route. And so you'll have Dobbs or somebody coming around wheel route, schemes him open. That's what Thomas Brown did. And so when I think about the totality of all those things, ball spread around, I have to give him an A. I think it was a really good game. The only issue now, though, is that it becomes a lot harder for Patrick Mahomes got picked off. BLT, he's gonna give you several. But when I think about the totality of what makes a play caller, good. Thomas Brown did good today. But as I was saying, it just gets harder now because there is no film on Thomas Brown with the Bears. There's none. And now teams will have film. They say, okay, he has a tendency to do this. Or this could be the development of a tendency here. I wonder, you know, and we're going to start keying on that. Maybe we'll blitz a little more. So it just gets harder for him now. Now you have to make sure that you are capable of adapting well. So we'll see going forward.
I mean, yeah, I definitely agree with that. But I feel like you can also say that, you know, that at the same time, he didn't even get a chance to fully get in his bag. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can also say that. Where you could say, well, he didn't get to do all the plays because he had 4 days of practice. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's a good thing that you can also say with him. But let's talk about Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, I believe, was amazing today. I think this is arguably, you could say, his best game as a pro. You don't think it was? I think it was.
He threw 4 touchdowns against the Jaguars. What are we talking about?
Yeah, but why it's more impressive to me is better defense. That's why I think it's his best game as a pro.
I don't care about the defense. He threw 4 touchdowns against the Jaguars. That is his best game as a pro. I mean, he had like a 65-70% completion rating versus them. I don't think it's close. Now, I guess if you take into the totality of the defense, it's obviously a much better defense with the Packers than it is the Jaguars, but I still think it's that game.
I'm gonna go with this one just because I feel like I was more impressed. It's the Jaguars. Yes, he didn't have touchdowns, but you going against it, like you said, maybe the best secondary in football. I thought he did really, really good today, especially with the, from what they were asking of him as well. What did you like from what you saw from Caleb today?
Biggest thing is he was taking what the defense gave him, his checkdowns. He was using the checkdown. One of the hardest things for a rookie quarterback to do is to deal with turnovers and not think it's the end of the world and struggle with getting open and struggle with throwing or not trying to go from the home run pass. For instance, Geno Smith struggled with not going for the home run pass for a decade before he got out of that habit. It's a bad habit. Today, he took everything that the defense gave him. Once the lanes open up, he ran. It's like, why not run? He's not a running quarterback. It's not what he did at USC or Oklahoma. But if he's fast enough and skilled enough and quick enough that if you're going to give him the lane, he's going to take it. A lot of the reads were literally just three-step throw or literally step throw, did not give him a chance to get in his head, and I think that's the sign of a good offensive coordinator. So when I take the totality of what he did, spread the ball around, Rome had 6 receptions. I think DJ had 7 receptions. Keenan Allen had 4 receptions. Cole Kmet had 3. That's a really spreading around of the offensive game plan. And that's probably the most impressive thing. And so when I look at it, I would give him a B+. There were probably 2 plays where he probably could have had himself a touchdown passing that I would probably say does not give him that A. But a B+, not his best game as a pro, but it's up there. I think this is a really good game to keep instilling confidence in him. But he's only going to go as far as Thomas Brown takes him because he's still young. He's not in a position where he's like Tom Brady. It doesn't matter the coach. I'm going to still do good because I'm established enough. He's growing and forming himself into the player he wants to be. And so when I look at that, the totality of the game, the spreading around of the ball, taking what the defense gives him, running the ball when he has the chance, trusting his reads, trusting his eyes, trusting his feet and his arm, I would say B+ probably.
Yeah, I would give it. I'm giving it an A. I'm giving it an A. I thought that because of I understand he didn't throw any touchdowns. We all love touchdowns. I get that. Right. I would have loved for a touchdown, but it's less about the touchdown numbers than anything. He's one touchdown away from being the having the most touchdowns for rookie in Bears history. He's gonna get that. What was my original preseason? I said he's gonna throw for 24. Right. That ain't gonna happen. If he can get, I think 15 is probably reasonable right now. With 7 games left.
The reason I don't know who the fuck said that being obtuse, he had an 80% completion rating versus Jaguars, 234 touchdowns. I just can't say that's better. Like, if you want to say it's a defense, that's fine. He threw 80% of his passes for completions, 23 of 28 for 234 touchdowns. Like, what are we doing? Come on now.
But you don't think that we should grade differently compared to the defense that you're playing?
That is such a huge curve. It's not like he threw for 340 today. He threw for 230, the same amount of yards, less touchdowns. What is the curve? Does the curve it being Packers make it so much better when he didn't have any touchdowns?
Well, I think it's because it's a better secondary, better defense, better pass rush, and also because those last 3 plays in the clutch, like the Jaguars game was never in doubt after like the first quarter. Like they had that game in the bag. This one, you know, back against the wall time, and yes, I'm using other things that I have to do outside of the actual game, but to me, that's why I graded. But I for me personally, best game as a pro, the 70 yards on the ground helped a lot. And I thought that Thomas Brown told him to run more. He said that was just something that he decided. I'm like, well, nigga, you should decide that weeks ago too. But I'm glad that he realized, like, no, he's not Justin Fields fast. He's not Jaden Daniels fast, but he's fast enough. I understand he wants to pass first. Nobody's telling you that you got to go out there and be Justin Fields every week. But if there's nobody open, and we saw that these wide receivers still have a hard time getting open. If there's nobody open and there's space, run. He did that then, and they need to continue to do that today. But like I said, it's the layups to make the thing easier for Caleb. And when it came to spreading the ball open and getting the ball, that pass they threw to Cole Kmet was amazing because it looked like from afar it could get picked, but it was perfect ball placement. And then just in the fourth quarter, man, after his offensive line failed him and got him sacked twice, third and 20 with a game on the line, three ballsy throws. And he had the game won. He had the game won. If there's anything that I would take from what we've seen from Caleb this year is that when this team gets better, when this team gets good and they actually can win and that's clutch games, I got faith in this kid. He walked him down to Washington, and he walked him down here today. And this is the Packers that we're talking about. He walked down the Packers. We should be up here having a victory Monday right now. But I thought Caleb was good. I would give Caleb an A for his performance. I liked it. I really, really liked what I saw. Now, I want to talk quickly about something you said when we were coming back from doing our post-game video. You said that if you're the Packers, you got to be hearing footsteps. I'm going to do the right. What do you mean by that?
So, for instance, we were talking about, the whole ownership thing within the Bears. And that makes sense when you're going against a Justin Fields led team. Justin didn't show you anything that makes you believe that he's going to stick around and be the quarterback of the generation. All you saw was promise, but nothing really definitive was being set up. Caleb came into a position where he's at a third and 19. He takes your team, he drives down for a score. He drives us down to potential to score. He looked determined, he looked poised, and he looked comfortable when he was throwing. And if I'm a Packer fan, I'm going to feel great about the win. I should not feel anything but great about that win. It was a good win. But you got to know this is going to be a series in which they start to get more and more competitive and the Bears start to shift the tide. I would say if you're a Packers fan, you should hear footsteps coming because Caleb Williams is going to be that deciding factor. As well as he played today against a good defense of the Packers, I have to wonder if I'm a Packer fan, is this the sign of a trend? And I believe this is under good coaching, under the right circumstance. And hopefully that happens again. I'm not going to say anything until Eberflus is actually gone. I get that email that he's gone. He's relieved of his coaching duties. But I think it's enough within Caleb Williams to say, he's going to come and he's going to make this a lot more of a competitive series than it has in the past.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that I think it's a coach away. I think they're really good. I think they're a good coach away, man. And I think we've said this. I've been saying this. I said this last Monday before they fired Shane Waldron. Shane Waldron, in fact, you can go on my Instagram right now and look at the reel from last week's pod when Bang filled in for them. Is that, look, man, he's a scapegoat. Shane Waldron, as bad as he was, is a scapegoat. The real problem is Matt Eberflus. And look, yes, and I know this is going to sound crazy considering we ain't beat them in 6 years. I'm slowly getting to the point where I'm not scared of these niggas. I'm sorry. Last two games were very, very close. Very, very close. And I feel like they're right. We had them dead to rights. Dead to rights. Had them dead to rights. And I'm just not scared of Jordan Love. Now, being scared ain't got nothing to do with losing, obviously. You can not be scared to lose. But
right,
he is Black Favre. Black Favre. He going to give you a couple. And I right. think what we all saw was the loss of Andrew Billings, how much that really hurt because the running game was all over the place. And so, yeah, man, I like what I saw from Caleb. And if there's anything, if you want to know what to watch the last seven games of the season, that is to watch Caleb Williams' development. And, you know, we look at the schedule. I don't know what the other wins are coming because we played on Where's the Win. And I said two. I'm sticking with two. I didn't pick them to win this game. I said the Bears' next two wins, only two wins for the rest of the season, is going to come against Minnesota next week and against Seattle. Those are two wins I got. This is the NFL. They're not going to go 0-8. They're not going to go. It's the NFL.
Oh, I'm not saying they won't win. I think they'll beat Seattle. I think they'll get Minnesota in Minnesota. I don't think that they'll get them next.
You have them beating them on the road more than, and they ain't won a road game?
It's just fluky Bear stuff.
I think they're going to win next week. I think they're gonna win next week. I think they're gonna lose the Monday night game in Minnesota. But I think they win next week, and then they win the day after Christmas game against Seattle. Those are your two losses. I mean, two wins right there. That's a win less than last year. And we're gonna get news on Black Friday that you know, Matt Eflus fight. So we're gonna beat the Lions in front of Shibuya. Yeah, okay. Not only are they not gonna beat the Lions, that game's not gonna be close. You see this? Look, this defense just look.
And they just lost Anzalone for some time. I think it'll be Anzalone, the linebacker.
Look, man.
Anzalone? Let me see if I'm saying that right.
This offense, Anzalone. Bro.
What'd you say?
This defense ain't going to have nothing for the Lions, bro. They just not. Of course, they're not going to put – we're not the Jaguar. They're not going to put up 52 points. But – yeah, I think Seattle and I think Minnesota next week.
Lions are playing like a machine. How many games have they lost? One.
Which is
shocking that they even lost one.
Who they? Oh, they lost to the Bucks week two.
Right. But this is a divisional game. Two teams that know each other well. I don't expect. I mean, what was the score last year? The Bears beat them one time last year, right?
Yeah, the Bears should have swept them. Remember Justin walked them down, and the defense gave up the draws.
This is the same team with the Lions, player-wise. Obviously, they're much more
worse defense.
Right, but they're a much more oiled machine offensively.
Yeah.
But the Bears know who they are. So I'm not expecting a blowout. I'm probably expecting a two-score win, meaning 10 points. I can see that. That being said, I've watched the Bears enough, covered them long enough to know if they got blown out, I wouldn't be shocked. I just don't think games like you saw today, 52-6, happen often. They're an outlier. Most games are going to be
something like that. That's division games.
Most losses are going to be two scores or less. I'm expecting the Bears to probably lose by 10. That seems more reasonable. But again, the Bears know who Jared Goff is. They're going to get a couple picks off Jared Goff.
One quarterback in this division who this defense can't pick off a couple times.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they'll get a pick off all of them when it's all said and done. I mean, they got one off Jordan Love. Jordan Love should have had two picks off the base. Yeah. That throw he had to Tristan Watson, Kyler nor Elijah Hicks tracked the ball at all. And it wasn't a good – it was a stupid pass. Like, I don't understand trusting your player. He was never open. But, again, I digress. Looking at the totality of who they play, looking at what's happening in the next few weeks, I don't expect them to get blown out by the Lions. I expect them to get swept, but blown out –
yeah, well, I think what do you have any expectations for the rest of the year for what the offense should look like? I feel like that's the only thing we're looking at from here on out.
230 plus yards from Caleb every game. I need for him to get a touchdown or two for every game passing. Like, you know that they can get the ball running offensively on the ground. It's time for him to start passing touchdowns more. I'm expecting that run game to get four yards a carry. Very, very simple. It's nothing crazy. I want to see Rome get at least four catches a game. I need to see DJ start to get five catches a game. Cole Kmet needs to get four. It needs to be spread along. But if I can get three touchdown drives out of them or three scoring drives out of them per game, hopefully we're looking at, even if it's just two touchdowns, two field goals, that's enough. I don't want to see four field goals happening. But I do want to see four scoring drives a game, at least getting your team in a position to succeed and then capitalizing when you have the chance to get a touchdown. So I think that will show me that this is a mark of a competent offense going forward, something that they can build off of.
And I'm with you 100%. I think – how many – okay. How many touchdowns did you have Caleb with preseason? I had 24.
22 probably.
I'm changed it to 15. What do you change it to now?
20.
Oh, you still think he's going to get 20?
I mean, how many games you got left?
Seven.
Okay, that's a lot. Let's go.
If he got two per game, that'd be extra 14 touchdowns. That's a 23.
Right.
Factor 20 actually might be kind of doable.
I'll go 17, 18.
17. I'm going to say 15. But if he finds a way to get to 20, we're cooking with gas.
Right.
We haven't had a quarterback – fun fact here. There's not been a Bears quarterback to score 20 touchdowns in 6 years. The last one, Mitchell David Trubisky. He threw for 24. And honestly, he had 27 touchdowns this year. He had three on the ground.
Right.
My only hope, keep using the legs, Caleb. Keep using the legs until the offensive line gets better, until your wide receivers know how to get better. But also think there's room for Thomas Brown to improve. Because right. Now he knows he's the guy. He had two practices to get ready.
Right.
You know, this is not something where the Bears knew to go. The Bears told him the day that we found out. And that was last Tuesday. And they don't practice on Tuesday. So he had three practices to get under his belt. I think there's room for him to get even better. He ain't even gotten his bag yet. I'm pretty sure today he just went to his most reliable plays. So right. Now he's got more time. And that's a lot of stuff online for Thomas Brown. Thomas Brown is somebody who interviewed for head coaching jobs last year. This is how he was a running backs coach in 2020. Sean McVay named him assistant head coach the year they won the Super Bowl. And for a guy like Sean McVay to name you that, that tells you how much faith he has in him. So I believe that he wants to get back on the coaching market. Shoot, he might want to get – this is going to sound crazy because I wouldn't do this, but it is also the Bears. He might want to get his name in the head coaching job for the Bears. He might think, I might have an opportunity to stay here. So I believe there's just as much on the line for him to go out and do the things. My expectation is more complimentary football and with the offense looking like they're getting. I think the most encouraging thing today is you did this against a good defense.
Right.
We're not just sitting on as Carolina, as Jacksonville. You did this against a good defense. You know what I'm saying? Now, next week is going to be a test because Brian Flores is going to throw every blitz possible. Okay, that's all that nigga do is like the blitz. He going to throw every blitz possible. But honestly, until this might be the best defense you see for the rest of the season in Green Bay.
Niners are top 10.
Niners are top 10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you got the Niners.
Ironically, the Titans are top 5. We're talking about pass defenses they played.
Now I'm talking about for the rest of the year.
I know, I was just saying.
Yeah, so, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, them higher.
Vikings are number 11. So,
where are the Packers ranked?
12.
12? Okay. So, but still, he said Flores is a diamond touch to fall. That is true. Flores is a diamond touch to fall from the coordinators and QB. So, I'm really interested to see how they're going to play, man. But I think that's all we got. Is there anything else you want to go over, cover? I think we covered all bases today, man. So, that is all we have got for y'all on another edition of 79th and Hallis. Playoff dreams is over. Even though I said they're over 3 weeks ago, they died to me after the Hail Mary. I stopped thinking about playoffs after the Hail Mary. So if you're still on the playoff train, still mathematically in it, they're not going to be in the sniffing it picture no more. They have on Rich Eisen. So,
yeah.
That's the demoralized part because they should be 6-4.
You'd have to damn near win every game.
And this is why. Not only that, you have to have an epic fall off from Washington. Washington has the last seed right now. Washington is 7-4, and they have the final seed. And you look at the rest of Washington's schedule. They play Philly one more time, but outside of that, they've got a pretty easy schedule. Orlando said, "Get Flo some Vicks." So I don't think that Washington is gonna let go of that final spot. Who's the sixth seed? Let me see who the sixth seed is. For the in the NFC, but you got, I think it's one of the, is it the Falcons?
Let's see. I don't know.
I got it right here. Okay. So in the NFC, the sixth seed is Green Bay. Yeah, so Green Bay is 7-3. So there's only eight. Yeah, so yeah. I think Washington hold that. I think the Bears, Tampa, San Francisco, Seattle, and the Rams are all screwed because the seventh seed is 7-4. The Rams are the closest one, they're 5-5. And I just don't see an epic fall off from Washington like that. Because outside of Philly, the rest of their schedule is pretty pie. So yeah, playoffs are dead. So right now we got to switch our focus to any regular season with a rookie quarterback, his development. Only look at Caleb box scores from here on out, man. So that's all we got for y'all. Follow us on social media at Barb Chess Scott, at Flows and Lenny, at 79th and Alice. And yeah, man, we're gonna holler at y'all on Wednesday. So we up out here.
This is Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. This is Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis.
Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven night for Alice in your ears. You. Since Bobby Ingram Curtis.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.